Well, happy Mother's Day to all of the moms who are in the room. We are absolutely grateful to God for you. So this morning, I want to begin the message with a short story about prayer. And this could easily be the strangest short story about prayer that you will ever hear to start a Mother's Day message. But my philosophy on that is, as long as it makes its point, that's a pretty good story about prayer. So to conceal the identity of one of the main people in the story, we will simply refer to him as Gall Pothart. Now, years ago, God called Gall and his wife, Gria, to move to a city that did not have Chick-fil-A. Yes, there is a sacrifice that comes with following the will of God. When Gall and Gria went on vacation to surrounding states like California, Utah, and Arizona, they would actually make their plans to go through cities that did have a Chick-fil-A so that they could taste of the glory while still living in the wilderness. When they returned from vacation, they would buy dozens of sandwiches on their way home. Like a chicken cartel, they transported delicious sandwiches across state lines for needy family and friends back home. And this activity went on for years, but it was never the end game. From the moment they arrived in this city, they began to pray that God would bring Chick-fil-A to Las Vegas. Like the man from Macedonia in Acts chapter 16, they wrote the headquarters of Chick-fil-A saying, "Come to Las Vegas and help us." Now, why did they do it? Because a smuggled sandwich is good, but a local sandwich is way better. Now, for anyone who has not figured it out, I'm Gall, and this is my story. Now, for those of you who have heard me share parts of this story before, you'll also know I'm actually not joking on the main pieces. Myself and Bria and many others began to pray that God would bring Chick-fil-A into Las Vegas. For 13 years, we prayed. And then on March the 24th, 2017, God answered those prayers. I've got a piece from my journal entry. Let's bring it up. Look at that headline. God brought Chick-fil-A and Krispy Kreme to Las Vegas. He put them side by side. Won't he do it, church family? Won't he do it? Now, I was also praying for Krispy Kreme. It was not as urgent of a prayer request as Chick-fil-A, but it was definitely on the list. Now, I want you to look at that top picture, and you will see people camping out for the grand opening of Chick-fil-A. Now, people who live in a land of chicken abundance, where there is Chick-fil-A's on every corner, you don't understand that level of desperation. But if you don't have one around, you enjoy every opportunity you have. Now, hold that part of your story. When God called us to the Albany area in 2021, we began to think about and pray about other restaurants and businesses that we missed from living on the West Coast as well as living in other cities. So we made another list. And in this list, we included Raising Cane's, In-N-Out Burger, Home Goods, Panda Express, Crumble Cookie, Outdoor Shopping, Restaurants at the Mall, and a whole other list. And we started praying. Now, if you happen to be thinking about that list, I want to point out Crumble Cookie arrived a little over 2 years ago in Albany. There's currently a Raising Cane's that is being built on Dawson Road. Home Goods will be going across the street from TJ Maxx. New outdoor shopping and restaurants are currently being built out at the mall. And the white whale on my list was In-N-Out Burger. Here's the reason it was the white whale. Because they've never had a restaurant further east than Texas. And yet, out of the middle of nowhere, in 2024, In-N-Out announced they're expanding their operation to the southeast. They are almost completed with a 100,000 square foot new headquarters in Franklin, Tennessee. They've already opened the first four restaurants in that state. 36 others are planned through the rest of this year. They're getting closer. So here's my question. If you've been praying, God, should I open a Panda Express in Albany, Georgia? And your name is Austin Newman. If you've been praying about this, just know the answer is yes. We have you prayed up at this point. Now, why in the world would I share that story? Number one, I like the story. It's as simple as that. After 20-some years of praying for businesses and restaurants to come in and watching God answer prayer specifically, I just enjoy sharing the story. Every time I'm driving up and down the roads, I look off on my right and on my left, and I just praise God. I'm just seeing God do piece after piece after piece all around the city. Now, somebody might be thinking to themselves, Paul, do you honestly think God is answering those prayers? Like, with all the problems going on in this world, do you think God cares a bit about restaurants and businesses in a particular city? Well, here's what I know for sure. My Bible says, you have not because you ask not. My Bible says, pray about everything. Jesus taught his disciples, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And I'm a very literal person. If God says, pray about everything, here's what I think he means. Pray about everything. Pray about what you think is big, what you think is small. Pray about the things that seem insignificant, those that seem significant. Pray about everything. So here's my second reason for bringing that up. There is something powerful and encouraging about praying specifically and watching God answer specifically. You've probably heard the statement before, you get what you pay for. Let me twist that a little bit. Based on scripture and personal experience, many times you get what you pray for. What are you praying specifically for today? Now, I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity teaching. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 3, it confronts people who are praying with wrong or selfish motives. What I am saying is, based on scripture, God seems to delight in answering the specific prayers of his people. Now, this is just a small sampling of that. Rachel prayed that God would give her a child. God gave her two, Joseph and Jacob, in Genesis chapter 30. Samson prayed that God would give him supernatural strength. God gave it to him in Judges chapter 16. Joshua prayed, this is a big prayer, he prayed that God would allow the sun to stand still as he was battling the enemies of God. And God did it in Joshua chapter 10. Hannah begged God for a son. God blessed her with Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Elijah prayed that God would send fire from heaven, and God did exactly that, 1 Kings 18. Solomon prayed that God would give him wisdom to lead God's people, and God gave him that wisdom in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Now, praying specifically does not mean God will answer exactly as you prayed every time. That's not what that means. Sometimes our prayers are short-sighted. Sometimes our prayers are selfish. Sometimes our prayers could even be sinful in what we're praying for. God has the wisdom and God has the right to say no whenever it is not in alignment with his will. And when he says no, no is still an answer. But let's also say this, when he says no, it will be in alignment with his will and it'll be the best thing for us. So here's my question once again. What are you specifically praying for today? What challenge are you walking through that you need to hear from God in? What set of impossible circumstances are you facing as a family? Let's narrow our focus down a little bit more for Mother's Day. Moms, where do you need God to intervene on behalf of your child? What impossible situation is your child facing? What attitude needs to be corrected? Moms, do you need wisdom? Do you need patience? Do you need resources? Moms, has the enemy bound your child in sin? Is your child currently running the opposite direction away from God? Where in your child's life do you need God to intervene? I want to encourage you, pray specifically, because we often get what we pray for. That sets up our key truth for this morning. Desperate people learn to pray specifically. Discipled people continue to pray specifically. Desperate people learn to pray specifically. What that means is when you're in that desperate moment and you're just saying, God, I need your help here. This is what's going on. My heart's broken. I need to see you intervene. There's a lot of specificity that comes with our prayers in moments of desperation. But it's that time of desperation that actually builds in stronger rhythms of prayer for times of stability. So today I invite you to go with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I'm speaking this morning on praying specifically. Now, I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open. I'm not going to read the entire section in advance because it would actually be about two chapters that we're going to cover. But what I am going to do is I'm going to share the basic story. Then we're going to reference a number of passages. And then after that, I am going to pull some truths out of the text that are applicable in every area of life, not just praying for your kids. So that being said, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray at this time, God, that you would give us unusual wisdom in the word. Help us to not only understand the story, but God, may we pull from this text the truths that have a power and impact to change our lives every single day. Lord, we need you to guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2, they describe Hannah's problem, Hannah's prayer, God's answer, and then Hannah's praise. Problem, prayer, answer, praise. Problem, prayer, answer, praise. You find that in chapters 1 and 2. So here's the story. Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And he also happened to be married to another woman by the name of Peninnah. Now, Scripture does not condone multiple wives, but it also doesn't hide the truth either. Elkanah had two wives. And as you might imagine, that brought a little bit of rivalry into the marriage. And in this case, a part of that came to Hannah's inability to have children. Peninnah would often provoke her and harass Hannah because she was barren. And yet, according to chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it was the Lord who had closed her womb. Now, each year, Elkanah, Peninnah, and Hannah, they would go to Shiloh in order to offer sacrifices as well as to worship. And each year, Peninnah would antagonize Hannah. And each year, Hannah would get upset and she would start to cry and she would stop eating. But this year, something changed. This year was different. If you would, let's pick up reading 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm just going to be reading, please follow along in your Bibles, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head.'" Hannah brought her concerns to God. It says in the text that she poured out her heart to him. She shared her need. She shared her burden. She shared her pain with God. She even said, "God, if you give me this child, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." Now, there is no audible voice from God coming out of heaven to say, "Hannah, that sounds like a deal. Let's do that." But you can absolutely tell that God answered the prayer. You find that further in the story. But you'll also find that in verse number 12, you see something unique. Not only was there not an audible voice that God spoke and said, "Let's do that," but we find in verse number 12, it says, she continued praying before the Lord. Why do people continue to pray about the same thing? Because they don't think God has answered them yet. She's continuing to pray. And as she prayed, Eli, who happened to be the priest, he was watching her. And Eli was confused. He saw her mouth moving, but he didn't hear any words actually coming out of her mouth. So he actually thought she was drunk, and being the understanding priest that he was, he rebuked her for hitting the bottle before coming to church. Verse 14, it says, "Then Eli said to her, 'How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you.'" And Hannah's response is found in verses 15 and 16. But Hannah replied, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Hannah made it clear she wasn't drunk. She had poured out her heart to God. The wording is not, she quickly prayed. It's not, she quickly went through a list. The wording is, she engaged God with everything she had. She poured out her heart, her burdens, her pain, her trials. She poured it out before God. Now, check out the response that we find from Eli in verse number 17. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him.'" Verse 18, it tells us that Hannah left the place, she ate something, and her face was no longer sad. Now, we have to fast forward in our story. Elkanah, Peninnah, and Hannah, they returned home. In verses 19 and 20, it tells us that God remembered her, and in due time, Hannah gave birth to Samuel. If you happen to be one of those people that underlines or writes in your Bible, I would encourage you to underline those three words: in due time. In due time. We waited 13 years for Chick-fil-A in Las Vegas. Still waiting on that Panda Express right around here. Okay, in due time, God does not promise to answer everything according to our timetable, but he will answer in due time. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Now let's fast forward one more time in the story. After Hannah nursed Samuel, she returned to Shiloh with a sacrifice and with a son. This time, she is standing once again before Eli, same priest, the same guy who thought she was drunk the last time she was there. I want us to now pick up in verse number 26 at that point of the story. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." I want you to notice the sequence that we have. She prayed specifically in verse 11. God answered specifically in verse 20. She now praised specifically over in verse number 27. "For this boy I prayed." Not a boy, this boy. Not any child, this child. She recognized this was God's direct answer to her prayers. "This child, I pray." As you were moving over into 2 Samuel chapter number 2, or 1 Samuel chapter 2, you will begin to see the specific parts of her praise. Now, at this point, there are three quick observations that we can take away from Hannah's story. These are in your notes. Here's the first one. Our crisis is always under his control. Our crisis is always under his control. Scripture tells us in verses 5 and 6, the Lord closed her womb. That was not a surprise to God. Hannah did not know why she was barren, but God knew why she was barren. Her inability did not limit his ability. Her praise in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, is some praise that recognizes not only was God able, but God was completely in control. And that is so important. I need you to look at me for just a moment. In the moment of crisis, everything looks impossible. When you're in a desperate situation, you don't seem to find any paths forward. You're looking out and you're like, God, there's no way the $100 left in my account can pay a $1,500 bill. It's impossible. God, there's no way when all the doctors are saying the same thing that there's ever any hope that something's going to be different for my health report. When you're in a moment of crisis, it seems like everything is impossible, but you have to remember the one you are calling upon. Amen. You're not just speaking into the universe. You're not just talking to some unknown deity. You are talking to the holy, sovereign, creator, sustainer, Lord, glorious God of the universe. Nothing is impossible for him. They'll go back to that first part where somebody might say, do you think God is really answering your prayers? Yes. If you say, well, Paul, those are trivial. Tell me any prayer request we might have that would be big before God. When you have a God who can speak into nothing and create everything, he's got no problem with a Panda Express. People think I'm joking. I'm not joking. Pray about everything. When we get towards the end of this message, I'm going to walk you through a pathway of writing the pieces down so that you can specifically see when God answers. Did you know that is a part of the spiritual heritage that you will give to your kids and your grandkids? They should never be in a place of ever wondering, does God answer prayer? They should be able to listen to mom and dad, grandma and granddad, and hear story after story after story. Put dates off on the side. Here's the impossible situation, but this is what my God has done. They need to see that lived out every day. Pray specifically. Here's the next part. Our circumstances add specificity to our prayers. Hannah was barren, very clear in the text. And she prayed that God would do something that seemed unlikely in the least or impossible at the most. And here's what she was praying for. She wanted a son. For that to happen, God had to do something. I want you to notice the wording I just used. She wanted a son. Could she have physically lived without a son? Yes. She'd been doing it up to this point. She wanted a son. And we have a God who is so gracious that he not only gives us what we need, but many times he gives us what we want. Why? Because he's a good father who delights in giving good gifts to his kids. And when he does, and we share those stories with others, he gets the glory. Hannah could have lived without a son, but God was gracious. Whenever we were praying about whether God was calling us to join in his activity here at Sherwood, as a family, we listed 27 specific prayer requests based on 27 areas of need. We prayed as a family. And by the way, let me tell you why we did it as a family. I did not want the first time our girls had to pray over a major decision to be while they were on their own outside of our house. I wanted them to pray with us through this process. So each of us sat down and we wrote out, these are the areas we need to hear from God in. And each family member put out different prayer requests. And here's what happened. God gave us 27 specific answers. Now, he didn't have to do that. He didn't. He could have said, trust me and go, and never give any other peace along the way. But this is what we found over the years. God has a way of speaking the language of our hearts. You all know I'm a list guy. And a part of the reason I'm a list guy is because I can talk myself out of about everything. If I'm just sitting there and like, if my prayer is, God, would you open that door? And I just leave it there. Then I don't know, God, did that door swing open by you? Did it swing open by Satan? Did I push the door in? Like, I need specifics. So when I pray, I specifically list pieces out because I know myself well enough that if God doesn't make it so clear to me, I have the capacity to doubt what he's done. And God gave us 27 specific answers. You know what happens then? You know that if you stay, it's going to be out of disobedience. When God makes it clear, we walk forward with him. Our circumstances add specificity to our prayers. Here's the third piece. God's answers lead to closer intimacy, renewed trust, and deeper worship. When you pray specifically and God answers specifically, it will encourage you to go back and to pray again. Did you know there are certain parts of God's character you will only learn while you are wrestling with God in prayer? It's in that process of laying out your heart before God that he begins to reveal parts of who he is. So in Hannah's praise, it's found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, she worshiped God with passion and with boldness. But along the way, I'm just going to list this out for you. She recognized in her praise the holiness of God, the uniqueness of God, the steadfastness of God, the knowledge of God, and the actions of God. She testified in her praise that with God, the feeble find strength, the hungry find food, and the barren have children. She relished the reality of God's sovereignty. She said God was so powerfully in control that he kills and he makes alive. He brings down and he raises up. He makes some poor and others rich. He lifts the needy. He establishes the godly. He silences the wicked. All who challenge him will be destroyed. The entire earth is his. He is the righteous judge and he will be exalted forever. You don't get that kind of knowledge by surface level prayers. It's because you've wrestled with the Creator. And as you spend time with him, he reveals more of who he is. When specific prayers are met with specific answers, there's a closeness that develops. When I started this message, I shared what sounds like a ridiculous story about praying for businesses. But the same time I said, as I drive up and down the road right now, I just praise God every direction I look. People might think I'm crazy when I share those types of stories. But here's what I know. Every time I'm seeing new restaurants and new businesses coming to town, every time I see new families moving into the city, every time I hear of churches coming together for the good of this area. Every time I hear of believers who are engaging their neighbors with the gospel, it all is a point of praise for me. I've prayed about all of those things and many others. When you pray specifically, you get a chance to walk through life in constant praise of God. So what are you specifically praying for today? As we close out the message, just know you can apply the truths of this message to every area of your life. And we need to pray specifically about every area. Pray about family and finances and job and the future and our country and our church. Pray specifically about all of those areas. But I want to narrow our focus in for just a moment and talk about how do you pray specifically for your kids. So here's the first piece I want to share. Be willing to engage in the battle. Amen. Be willing to engage. In her book, The Power of a Parent's Prayer, Stormy O'Martin said, "The battle for our children's lives is waged on our knees. When we don't pray, it's like sitting on the sidelines watching our children in a war zone getting shot at from every angle. When we do pray, we're in the battle alongside them, appropriating God's power on their behalf. If we also declare the word of God in our prayers, then we wield a powerful weapon against which no enemy can prevail." As parents, your prayers matter. But you got to engage the battle. Not just quick surface levels prayers. God, just bless my kids today. Engage the battle. Be specific in your prayers. The question is often, what needs to be laid aside so that I have the time and the mental space to really pray for my family? If you wait until you've got time to pray, you will not pray. Be willing to engage the battle. Second, pray scripture over your kids. Fern Nichols, founder and president of Moms in Touch International, wrote, and I quote, "I believe the greatest influence a mom can have in the life of her child is through prayer. As she stands in the gap for her child, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth hears and answers her prayers." One of the most powerful principles in Scripture is praying. Pray Scripture. When we pray the promises of God for our children, our faith increases because we are praying back the very words of God. God said His word would not return void. To pray God's word is to pray in accordance with God's will. Those are powerful prayers. Now, if you don't know how to pray God's word over top of your kids, we have a piece that we're making available today. You can pick up a copy. It's free. It's going to be at the Connection Center as you leave. And basically, this is 31 passages to pray specifically over your kids. It walks you through how to do it. You don't have to pray all 31 every day. Just take a different day and you just pray that passage. So these would include things like praying for faith and hope and love of God's word, praying for joy in their life, praying for patience and thankfulness and passion for the Lord, wisdom, humility. We cover all of those topics, but in this little card, it'll show this is how you pray scripture back over your kids. Next piece, allow your circumstances to add specificity to your prayers. If your child is struggling in school, pray specifically for your child in that area. Pray that they would have the ability to absorb information quickly. Pray that they would have teachers who understand your child's need and can address those problems. Pray that God surrounds your child with people of character. Pray that God protects your child from anyone who would cause them harm. Pray that God would help them understand the gospel. Pray that God would give them ears to hear the gospel. Pray that God would allow them to come to faith in Christ at an early age. Pray that God would grow them in their faith all the days of their life. Pray specifically over every part. If there's behavior problems, pray specifically. If there are relational problems, pray specifically. When there are physical problems, pray specifically. When there are spiritual problems, pray specifically. Allow the circumstances to add specificity to your prayers. The next piece, keep a prayer journal and record God's answers. We have the ability to remember almost every trial while at the same time forgetting almost every blessing. And if you don't take the time to write it down, you will find that you forget the answers and the blessings of God. So take time. Write down, God, I need you to intervene here. Put a date off to the side. As God answers, put the answer off to the side. Keep those things recorded. And over time, you will be amazed as to how many specific answers to prayer God gives. As parents, we get an opportunity to intercede on behalf of our children. Pray specifically for your kids. Stay at the mountain of prayer for your kids. Sometimes that's going to be moment by moment, situation by situation. It's going to be day by day, week by week, year by year. You just keep praying. Pray specifically for your kids. If you're unwilling to stand in the gap for your own kids, who's going to stand in that gap for them? Pray often, pray regularly, pray specifically. Why should you pray specifically? Because God has a way of often giving us what we pray for. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow with me for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. And as we go into this final time, I'm going to ask, unless it's an absolute emergency, that no one leaves the room. Unless it's an absolute emergency, please don't leave. When we get into a time of invitation, it's a time when people are many times battling with God, and the enemy is trying to distract them, and we don't want to do anything that adds to that distraction. So we want to take a moment, and we're going to pray over parents. We're going to pray over grandparents. We're going to pray over kids. But as we pray, there might be specific areas of need that you're saying, I need prayer in this area, and I want somebody else to pray specifically with me in this area. If that's the case, I'm going to encourage you in just a moment. There's going to be pastors and pastors' wives coming up along the front. And as they are along the front, it's a great opportunity to come and to say, this is a need in my child's life. This is a need in my life. Would you pray specifically for me? It might be that you're in the room right now and you don't know the gospel. Maybe this is the first time you've been in a church in a long time and you don't know what it looks like for a person to be made right before God. Come and talk to one of these pastors or pastors' wives. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I do know God answers prayer. And it's amazing to see what happens when we pray specifically. Heavenly Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you would be the one to do the work in this place. God, help us to hear from you. Help us, Lord God, to understand what it is that you are calling us to do, how it is that you want us to respond. God, I pray for every one of those people in the room right now, those who are watching online, that they have gotten so discouraged because they've not seen any activity. Lord, may those three words come alive in due time. Lord, give them the hope and the courage to keep praying. God, I pray that you would meet with each person in the way we need to specifically hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? We've got one final song. The altar is open. Would you respond to hymn?